Good morning. My name is John Waits, and I'm a curate here at St. Margaret's in Chipstead. And delighted that you can join us for the Book of Common Prayer, Holy Communion. We start with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. The prayer of preparation. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The summary of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee. Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Elizabeth, our queen and governor, that she, knowing whose minister she is, may above all things seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all her subjects, duly considering whose authority she hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey her in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end. Amen. We now have the collect, followed by the readings. And after that we will have the creed. The collect for the seventh Sunday after Trinity. Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name, increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and of your great mercy, keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever.
The reading is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 1 to 10. Shout it out loud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion, and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they are a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the command of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarrelling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves. It is only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes. Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is not the kind of fasting I have chosen to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, Here I am. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, And if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We say our creed together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Now we have the sermon.
Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. Isn't this the type of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke. To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke. As you may know, we are in the process of preparing a mission action plan for St. Margaret's. With that in mind, we're having a series of services this month dedicated to what are called the marks of mission. So what do we mean by that? What is the mission of the Church, locally, nationally, and worldwide? I looked up the definition of mission as given in an online dictionary. It is in two parts, and the first is this. Mission means an important assignment given to a person or group of people, typically involving travel abroad. That fits very well with the life and work of my great-grandfather, who was a missionary. He was sent by the Church in Scotland to live and work in Manchuria, and his mission was to introduce the Chinese to the Christian religion and to modern Western medicine. The second half of the dictionary definition of mission is this. Mission means the vocation or calling of a religious organisation, especially a Christian one, to go out into the world and spread the faith. So we could speak of the mission of the Church as a whole, not just of individuals. And it's not only the Church that can have a mission. A commercial company can have a purely secular mission. So I looked up mission statement in another dictionary, and it says that a mission statement can be a single sentence to sum up an organisation's purpose for being. In my great-grandfather's days, the definition of missionary work was relatively straightforward and uncontroversial. Now it's not so simple. Now we need church councils to debate and define what constitutes mission. What is the Church's purpose for being? Perhaps it can't be expressed in a single sentence. Perhaps the Church needs to list the activities that indicate that mission is taking place. That's what the worldwide Anglican Church has done in identifying what are called the five marks of mission. In 1984, the Consultative Council of the Anglican Communion proposed such a list. They've since then been adopted by many churches as providing an agenda for discussing plans and priorities for action. And we're using them to help us prepare our mission action plan for St. Margaret's. The five marks of mission are these: preaching the gospel, teaching the faith, easing suffering, reforming society, and preserving the earth. preaching the gospel, teaching the faith, easing suffering, reforming society, and preserving the earth. In this service, we're concentrating on the fourth mark, reforming society. And this is how it is defined, quote, to transform unjust structures of society, to challenge violence of every kind, and to pursue peace and reconciliation. Quick reaction to those words might be that they show all the signs of committee drafting. They've been chosen so as to be open to a variety of different interpretations and therefore to be acceptable to varieties of different opinions and interests. Indeed, even the Russians and the Chinese might not object to them. But what is meant by an unjust structure? What might a church do to transform society? And does challenging violence mean non-resistance? Is peace to be pursued at any price? All the difficult questions are left unanswered. Well, I suppose a sympathetic reader would say that church councils do need to tread carefully as they enter the minefields of ecclesiastical diplomacy. Perhaps it's better to be a bit ambiguous than to say nothing at all. But an unsympathetic reader might say that this just shows what a mistake it is to mix religion with politics. Some people do say that churches should keep to their proper territory, which is spirituality, individual morality, and rites of passage, not concerning themselves with the structure of society or international relations. Yet it cannot be denied that politics and religion go together throughout the Bible. Indeed, it seems that God may care more about what we call politics than he does about what we call religion. That could be said about both the Old Testament and the New. Here are a few quotations. Beginning with this morning's reading, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. Isn't this the kind of fasting I've chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? So the religious practice of fasting is not pleasing to God unless it's accompanied by release for the victims of unjust rule. The prophet Amos says something similar. Amos chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. I hate, I despise your religious festivals. I cannot stand your assemblies. I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will not regard them. Away with the sound of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. The message of Jesus' teaching is no different. He took his own mission statement from the prophet Isaiah, Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. And Jesus poured scorn on those who kept to the letter of the law while rejecting its substance. Luke 11, verse 42, woe to you Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. Scripture tells us that politics and religion do belong together. Our religion has political implications that cannot be denied. Having accepted that, we then face the difficult task of specifying more precisely what those implications are for us. They'll not be the same in every place and time. Indeed, they may not be the same now as they were in biblical times. The Bible doesn't give us detailed guidance as to how the structure of society should be transformed. Doesn't have much to say about democracy, human rights, or freedom of religion. In places, it even takes the institution of slavery for granted. It doesn't provide much guidance in drafting a written constitution. Instead, it gives us a vision of the kingdom of God, in which justice is done always and to all. Neither does the Bible tell us how law and order can be preserved without forceful restraint. In the Old Testament, the Lord is actually a leader in battle, slaughtering the enemies of Israel. And there's not much talk of peace and reconciliation with the Philistines. In the New Testament, on the other hand, we're told to love our enemies and to turn the other cheek. What the Bible does give us is the belief that we are all made in the image of God. This is what gives unique value to every human life. The Bible also tells us that we're all loved by God. We're called to love one another even as we love ourselves. Our mission as followers of Christ is to put these beliefs into practice. That's about as far as I can go in preaching a sermon about politics. I cannot tell you which candidate I would prefer as Prime Minister. I can't say who would support. You should support one party rather than another at the next general election. And St. Margaret's as a church community should not, I think, identify itself with a political point of view, whether of the right or of the left. This doesn't mean, however, that we can't adopt a view on particular political issues from an explicitly Christian point of view. On the contrary, we could say that it is part of our mission to do just that. It could feature in our mission action plan. We could, for example, have open meetings to discuss current affairs from a Christian point of view. Our home groups could take up the topics in the latest newspapers and news websites to discuss them. We could invite visiting speakers with special knowledge on a range of subjects. This could include controversial topics like immigration, racism, taxation, the war in Ukraine, or global warming. There would, of course, be disagreements and strongly held opinions within the church, but within a Christian community, it should be a sign of good health that different views can be expressed without causing disunity. And we should pray together, with one another and with Christians throughout the world. We should pray that unjust societies will be transformed. We should pray for peace and reconciliation between nations. And in that, we shall be joining with the whole of the Anglican Communion. And may that be one part of our mission as members of the worldwide church. Amen.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother or sister have need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Our intercessions. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's Church militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all people, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes, and governors, and especially thy servant Elizabeth our Queen, that under her we may be godly and quietly governed, and grant unto her whole council and to all that are put in authority under her, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy great goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. We take a moment to bring before God those whom we would especially commend to him today. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins of wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who is great mercy, hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you. And you respond, and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is meet and right so to do. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We say together the prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. You might take a moment now to get some bread and some wine so that you can take this in a spiritual fashion. We know we can't take it physically together, but we can join together spiritually. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, through thy tender mercy, didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect and sufficient sacrifice, oblation and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel, command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. Who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave him thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you shall drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace. Deborah, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is given for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Take ye this in remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on him in thy body by thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The prayer of thanksgiving. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee, for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is also the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. And we join together in worshipping God in the words of the Gloria. Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory, O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty. O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. So may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, that of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be amongst you, your family, your friends, all those whom you love, be with you today and remain with you always. Amen.